Good morning. Welcome to Calvary United Methodist Church. I'm Reverend Esther Robinson. I will be your servant today. And we are here to worship God in the house of the Lord. Are you happy to be here?
Yes.
Amen. All right, that's wonderful. Let me share just a couple of announcements with you this morning. First off, I want you to know that there are prayer requests. In the pews, and if you have a prayer request that you would like to pass along, we invite you to do so, to put it in the offering plate, and that way the office knows about it. We can send it out on the prayer chain, and our prayer warriors can pray for it. So we just want to remember those people who need our prayers. Also, I would invite you to sign your registration pad that is in the pew. We like to keep track of everybody who comes. Big sister is watching you. No. Just teasing. But it does help us if we know your current address, phone number, email, things like that. We do like to know that. And especially if you're a visitor, we'd like to recognize and welcome our visitors, and would very much appreciate if you fill out the registration pad. Also, there's little salty service cards that are in the pews. They're white cards that say salty service. Several of you are holding them up, right? And you know what those are for, right? If you do some service to the community outside the walls of our church, you can turn that in and also put it in the offering plate. We keep track of how we're doing and what we're doing for us to do. And we know that you do things that we don't know about. So you tell us about it by putting that card in the plate. Thank you very much. And now I would like to ask Ron Coleman to come up here and give us a short message.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Thanks, Pastor Rob. I know that some of us can't hear as well as others.
Good morning again.
Good morning.
Toyota RAV4, your burglar alarm is going off. Let's hope the car doesn't follow it. There it goes. So this morning, I'm coming again at the request of the Finance Committee to talk about something we spoke of a couple of weeks ago. We talked about the financial resources of this church, the need to improve them. And so I come bearing good news, first of all, that we are making great strides toward reducing that debt. And the other news is, I won't call it bad news, I'll call it other news, is that we still have a ways to go. Two things. First, God will provide. Am I right? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right. And we know that God is our source, that not only will he provide for us, he will provide for this church as well. So with that said, I want to encourage you to, first of all, pray about continued giving until we get that debt down to zero. And it's getting. And I talked with Sue Michael earlier this week as we were approaching this moment, and I said to her, that really is awkward for me to do. I don't like doing that. But it's something that we don't do very often here in this church as far as our budget is concerned. We do have askings for special projects, special ministries, things like the Cuba mission, the children's home. But in this case, we're asking our congregation, not only members, guests as well, you're certainly welcome to help us out in this regard, to help our own home, our own house, right here at Calvary. And we're getting there fast. You won't see me again, hopefully. not in this manner, anyway. Not in this regard. So while I was talking to Sue, she and I, well, she didn't know it, but she said some things that kind of inspired me. And one of them was, she said to me, you can do it. And I thought, you know what? I can do it. So I'm saying to you, likewise, you can do it. And I want to hear you say, I can do it. Here, let me hear you. I can do it.
I can do it.
Okay? I can do it. You can do it. We can do it. Right? So, here's what I want you to join me in saying. It's going to go like this. I is referring to you, the person. When you say that, I want you to point to yourself. I can do it. When you say, there you go. And when you say you can do it, just point somewhere else, anywhere. And when we say we can do it, we're talking about especially God. With God's help, we can do it. But it's referring to all of us as well, right? And so I'll end up with something special. So as I can do it, you can do it, we can do it. You ready? Here we go.
I can do it.
So let's get to it. All right.
Will you turn in your bulletins to the opening words, which are attached to your sheet, and join with me. Come, you that are sick, come seek healing. Come, you that are oppressed, come and find freedom.
We are participating in the reign of God.
Come, you that are outcast, come and find welcome.
We are building the reign of God.
Come, you that are full of sin, come and seek forgiveness.
We are forgiven. We are restored. We are all brothers and sisters in the reign of God.
Come, let us all worship our God. Will you pray with me? Let us pray. Lord, this morning you place before us images of the small, the tiny mustard seed and the grain of yeast, the small treasure. And you remind us that we, though we think of ourselves as small, we are not insignificant in your kingdom. Open our hearts and our spirits to you in remembrance of the ways in which we can serve you throughout all our lives. Amen.
Amen.
And now can I ask the children to come forward for our time at the altar? Hey, how's everybody doing today? Come on, Rachel. Here we go. Now, I want to find out if any of you have, have you ever taken a seed and put it in the dirt and planted it and watched something grow from that? Have you ever done that in school?
I haven't.
You've never done it?
I tried to, but it didn't grow.
It didn't grow. Okay.
It was in the driveway.
Well, that might have something to do with it. That might have something to do with it. But you, yes, ma'am.
Well.
You never done one of those things before? Well, you know if you take a seed, you know what a seed is. It's a little tiny thing that you put in the ground, and what do you have to do to make it grow?
Water it.
Water it.
And let the sun on it.
And let the sun on it. See, you know that. You know that already.
I grow flowers at my old school.
You grew flowers? So you know what that's about. All right. Well, Jesus is talking today in one of the parables he told about a mustard seed that's really teeny tiny. It's a little teeny tiny seed. But when you put it in the ground, it grows into a big, big shrub. Something so big you would be surprised. And he said that the kingdom of heaven is like that. And I'm going to tell you what that means to me in just a second. But this is what a mustard seed looks like when it's full grown. And have you ever seen a plant so big before?
No.
Look at that big plant. Can everybody see this big mustard plant that grew from a little tiny seed? From a little itty-bitty tiny seed. That's what grows. And Jesus is telling us that the things that we do can be, other people can think they're small and insignificant, but it grows. And so the good things you do for Jesus and for God make a big difference. What are some of those good things you can do for Jesus or for God? What can you do for Jesus or God?
Listen to him.
Listen to him. Okay.
Help him.
Help him. Okay. What else?
Well.
Yes. You've been good to Jesus for a long time? Okay. Amen to that. Well, don't ever get discouraged, no matter how small the thing that you do. And that goes for all these big people out here, too. No matter how small the thing is that you do, it's very big and very important. Let's have a word of prayer, and then you can get your candy. You know how to pray with me? Okay, let's bow our heads and pray. We thank you, O God, that you have given us these children and pray your blessing upon them and their lives. May they grow in your grace and truth. And pray, O God, that you will use us, no matter how small we are or how small our efforts are, for some great growth in the kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here you go. One piece. One piece.
If you'd all stand and turn in your hymnals to page 277, we'll sing, Tell Me the Stories of Jesus. Tell me the stories of Jesus. I love to hear things I would ask him to tell.
The affirmation of faith, 887 in your hymnal. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?
No. In all things we are more than conquerors through the one who loved us. We are sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Be seated. Will the ushers please come forward for The presentation of tithes and offerings. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are the recipient of so many of your good gifts, but the greatest gift of all is the gift of your Son, Jesus, who came to show us the way, the truth, and the life. And we pray, O God, that you bless every giver and every gift for furthering your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
And made me whole. to praise Him.
I'll shout it while eternity rolls. He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul.
Something
happened, and now I know.
He touched me and made me whole.
He touched me.
Was a great job, wasn't it? That was really beautiful. I have to share that to me, music is essential to the worship experience because it's when I worship. Amen. It's when I worship is being able to share with you all and hear with you all and definitely hear God's voice speaking. So I appreciate you very, very much. This morning we're going to go to God in prayer as we did last week, and that is by starting out with some silence and just bowing our heads and getting into an attitude of prayer in whatever way you feel most comfortable, and letting the voice of God speak to your heart this morning. And as you are surrounded by the voice of God, when you feel led, or if you feel led, lift up the name of someone, a place in the world, or a situation in life that needs God's healing touch in a special way this morning.
Foy Benefield.
Jerry Plant.
Alex Reese.
Mr. Gill.
Jared Smith.
Billy Michael. Who's in need of work?
George Robinson for surgery.
Rose Wheelhouse.
Middle East crisis and turmoil.
Anyone and everyone around the world that needs help.
Amen.
All of these prayers, O God, we lay at your feet and pray your blessing upon us all. O Ancient of Days, you guided our ancestors, wandering Arameans, across the desert into a homeland that you prepared for them. You called our ancestors out of slavery into freedom. You promised our ancestors a future with hope. And you gave the world your Son, Jesus the Christ, who taught us a new way to live in the world by loving you foremost and loving our neighbors as ourselves. You have written our story, O God, before we even drew breath. You have called us into this world to share the story of your love with those who do not know it, who have not experienced it. Help us to share your love with our neighbors, with those in need of knowing your grace and forgiveness, your healing and hope. And call us out of our comfort zone, share our story of your love with the world. In the name of Christ, the living Word, the author of life, we pray, using the words he taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Amen. Stand in your hymnals, beautiful.
Scripture this morning comes from the 13th chapter, verses 31 through 33 and 44 through 52. Hear now the word of the Lord. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous, and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this? They answered, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. This is the word of God for the people of God. Well, these last couple of weeks, Jesus has been talking a great deal about farming. Now, understanding what Jesus is getting at in these stories is not easy. Even if you are a farmer, I know the name is here. Many farmers? How about former farmers? All right. Former farmers. Of course, you know that Jesus is not talking about farming. But it's important to know that he's not talking about heaven with a capital H, the beautiful city with streets of gold, where we go when we die, the eternal destiny of our souls. No. When he says kingdom of heaven, he's talking about the divine activity of God in the world. Now, in the midst of our ordinary, everyday experience, he's talking about the hidden holiness lurking about in the mundane monotony of our daily lives. In this lesson, Jesus reminds us that the kingdom of heaven is at one and the same time a present reality in the world and also very difficult to discern and locate because sometimes it seems very small. We're reminded that the kingdom of heaven is not something that we create. It is rather a treasure that God has already created and given to us, and that when we find it, or more correctly, when it finds us, we are called to give ourselves to it completely. No holds barred. Just completely turn over yourself for that valuable prize. And so we find Jesus now moving on from stories about God the mad farmer who throws seed everywhere and refuses to weed his crops to stories of choices that must be made. Stories in which it is not God, but we who must do the choosing. Between small seeds that can grow God crops in the world and all the jumble of things that the world wants us to choose instead. It's right there before us, and we get to choose. The grain of mustard seed, the smallest of all the seeds, can grow into a weedy patch to become the largest of bushes and offer shelter to many birds. A small amount of yeast can grow flour into bread enough to feed a whole town. And the priceless pearl, a small thing, has value far greater than everything else you own. And the full fishnet, teeming with life, will best be sorted out on shore. So bring it all in. Each of these requires everything. And each requires just one thing. The price for the treasures of God is everything that we have. And the prize, the treasure, is only one thing. One thing that must be seen, must be named, and taken and prized, given all that we have. And none of them would get you a round of applause from your friends and neighbors for the choice that you make. Most of them would get you some rolled eyes or some catcalls or remarks, maybe muttered to your face or behind your back for these choices that you make that seem so insignificant to the world. Because what's precious, says Jesus, in all of these stories, is likely to be judged as junk by most folks and likely to require a lot from each of us. It requires what? Everything. But when I hear about small treasures, I can't help but think about children. All around the world recently, they've been decried as worthless. These last few weeks, if you've been keeping track of the news, first, three boys in Israel were killed just for spite. And then a few weeks ago, a Palestinian boy was tortured and killed for revenge. And then four Palestinian little boys were bombed on a beach playing in the sand. And what is this called in the military? Collateral damage. And so it escalates. It will be years now before we know what all this has really cost the Gaza, Israel, and every nation. Because don't be fooled, it affects us too. When children are deemed as worthless anywhere, it affects us. And of course, right now, here on our own border, there are some 57,000 children have arrived without parents or passports or permission to enter. They've just showed up. And the crisis and the furor over the crisis grows by the day. They are seen by some as an economic threat, the little tiny ones, and by others as the enemy, and by some as a humanitarian crisis. For a minute, they come from places like El Salvador, Guatemala, and Honduras. They're ready to be all baptized. And therefore what? Children of God, brothers and sisters of Christ, brothers and sisters to each Christian, to every Christian, to us. Likely, none of them has been inoculated against diseases, and many of them will come being malnourished. And perhaps most of them will only speak just a few words of English. But that doesn't matter. It's not what they can do or what they can say that counts. What we're supposed to focus on, what the parables remind us of, is the radical inclusivity of the kingdom of heaven. People of every kind and every time are a part of God's kingdom. I want to tell you a story that our bishop in the Methodist Church, Will Willen, told in his book called Pastor, and it reminds us of how precious those little treasures are. And he writes, "Early in my ministry, a couple sat in the hospital room, and the doctor appeared shortly after I arrived and said to the new parents, 'You have a new baby boy, but there are some problems. Your child has been born with Down syndrome, and your baby also has a minor but correctable respiratory condition. My recommendation,' he said, 'is for you to consider just letting nature take its course.' And then in a few days, there shouldn't be a problem." The couple seemed confused by what the doctor told them. If condition can be corrected, then we want it corrected. And then he said, "Is it fair for you to bring this sort of suffering upon your two other children?" The mention of the word suffering, it was as if the doctor finally began to speak the woman's language. And she said, "Our children have had every advantage in the world. They have never known suffering and never had the opportunity to know it. I don't know if God's hand is in this or not, but I could certainly see why it would make sense for a child like this to be born into a family like ours. Our children will be just fine. When you think about it, this is really a great opportunity." The doctor looked confused. He abruptly departed, with me following him out into the hall. "Reverend," he said, "I hope you can talk some sense into them." Fortunately, the doctor did not talk that sense into them. What the doctor did not understand was that the couple was being reasonable. By the standards of the kingdom of heaven, what they wanted to do made perfect sense. In the kingdom, all lives are valuable treasures to be honored and cared for and accepted as gifts from God. In the kingdom, all sorts of fish, all kinds of treasures are present and welcome and valued. At the end of this week's reading, Jesus asks the scribes if they understand him and then tells them it is for them to offer the hospitality of the Master, God, of the house, the earth, bringing forth the new and the old. Makes me think of what we like to say in church. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The meaning is hard for us, though, that all are God's and all are welcome because they are all God's. So all around the earth, migration is streaming people and culture together, bringing the southern hemisphere into the northern. And immigrants come for every reason under the sun, in fear, seeking safety, hoping for education or jobs that they cannot get where they come from, for love, for money, for hope, for adventure, in sickness and in health. All the same reasons that many of our ancestors first came to these shores of this wonderful country we called home. And perhaps just like the couple with the Down syndrome child, perhaps the hand of God is in this. Not a single story of or teaching of Jesus about the kingdom or God's love comes to my mind that would let us say to them, go away. That's not the call. The stories say instead, shelter, feed, cherish. Cherish them as prizes. Pull them all in and sort it all out later. The stories say, do not forget to welcome the stranger, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. The stories say, the children, the meek, shall inherit the earth. All the stories say, make yourself available to God and do whatever it takes. Everything that it takes to protect God's treasures. Amen and amen.
If you'd stand and turn in your hymnals to page 370, we'll sing Victory in Jesus.
I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood.
Jesus came and brought to me the victory.
Last time in the benediction, which is attached to your bulletin. With a song of praise on our lips.
We go forth with God.
With the love of God in our hearts.
We go forth with God.
With a commitment to usher in God's kingdom.
We go forth with God.
With all that we are and all we can be,
we go forth with God.
Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.